This is the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. When we began the full story back at the beginning of November, one of the very first shows we did was about the potential legalization of recreational marijuana in Connecticut. To recap what has happened and is going on, Massachusetts is now selling recreational marijuana. If you've been following the news, you've seen that there are long lines at the establishments selling legally. At least at the beginning, there were very long lines. And a number of those people buying have been Connecticut residents. New York State, like Connecticut, is also considering legalizing the sale of marijuana. And just a short time ago, and I want to read this to you from the New York Times, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that he would push to legalize recreational marijuana next year, a move that he says could bring in more than $1.7 billion in sales annually and put New York in line with several neighboring states. Mr. Cuomo said, "The fact is we have two criminal justice systems, one for the wealthy and the well-off and one for everyone else." And he said getting rid of the marijuana laws or making it legal would cure some injustice. He said that has far too long targeted the African American and minority communities. "Let's legalize the adult use of recreational marijuana once and for all," he added. Now, the Connecticut General Assembly kicks off its session on January 9th. Joining us to talk about all this is Paul Kirchberg, the Executive Director of Connecticut Normal. That's the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Paul, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays to you.
You too, Ron. Thank you very much for having me on.
What do you think about the news out of New York?
It's exciting to hear. There's a lot of news coming out of New York now, specifically with the election past us. previously, there was a lot of talk with Governor Cuomo and the other candidates that were running, and it really did bring home. It really did drive home the deplorable statistic that even still to this day in New York City, we're seeing African Americans and minority groups four times more likely to be arrested or have a cannabis-related crime associated to them. And what really we found out is it doesn't mean that minority groups are using cannabis more so than the white populace. It's actually the same. And that brings up a whole new level of issues that should be addressed with legalization moving forward. The biggest problem with the cannabis prohibition is the war on drugs, treating people who potentially are addicts as criminals. And we know that type of policing efforts have not worked historically. So we're well beyond a point where we need to make adjustments moving forward. And I'm glad to see that other states like New York, New Jersey, and hopefully Connecticut this year as well, we will be moving forward with a legalized recreational cannabis bill.
I know we didn't ask you on to talk about this, but since it just happened, why do you think Governor Cuomo, he didn't really change his tune, but it certainly is a different type of tune. He seems much more aggressive on this issue now.
Well, I think the greatest initiative that he put forward prior to the election is he empowered the medical community in New York to go out and research and to identify, is there medical value? Can this help us? Can it help the state of New York? What is going on? We see a lot of this minority statistic is not new. It's unfortunate. It is a standard throughout the country. And unfortunately, at points, four times more likely is the low end. And there are areas, communities in the South, even here in New Haven, that have been destroyed historically because of cannabis policing and prohibition, African-American communities being resistant, essentially, to embrace cannabis, which can reinvest into their communities and everything because they've been unfairly policed. And to be told one day that you're doing something bad and wrong morally, and to have it change up so quickly, you know, the next day and say, oh, it's okay now. After you've been policed for so long, it's understandable why you're hesitant to just accept the new policy moving forward. So I think there's a lot of changes that have to be made specifically here in Connecticut, but as well in other states, to correct the wrongs of prohibition and to get people who are unfairly punished and put in jail for cannabis-related crimes. That knowledge needs to be shared. It needs to be brought back in, because with prohibition being going on for over 80 years at this point, there's a lot of science, there's a lot of knowledge that has been repressed, that has been erased, and essentially, unfortunately, we're at a starting point again. Yes, California has been doing it since the mid-90s, but still, there's a loss. There's six generations of loss of information.
Since Governor Cuomo announced this just a short time ago, does this put added pressure on Governor-elect Lamont and the incoming legislators to move quickly? Otherwise, if New York goes and legalizes it, I can anticipate there will be Connecticut residents going over to New York State to buy, just as many are now going to Massachusetts.
Yes, I do feel that with New York discussing legalization, it does put added pressure on Connecticut legislators. Do I think it's really putting a pressure on Governor-elect Ned Lamont? I don't believe so. He is 100% in support of legalization. We have heard him on numerous occasions in support. We do know that he has been working with individuals within the medical community now and trying and other advocates to try to figure out what legislation really should be, because it's not simply the grow, the production of cannabis, or the direct sale of cannabis. And a lot of the news, a lot of the revenue generation, profit sharing, et cetera, has all been based off those two focal points. And that's a very narrow-sighted view of what the cannabis industry can be.
So what are the other focal points?
So the other focal points at this point is, yes, so you have the grow. It's very important. There's different ways in order to produce high-grade cannabis. You can do it organically. You can do it indoor. You can do it outdoor, just for simplicity's sake. You can use soil. You could use hydroponics. Use air. You could use they have vertical farming now. And that for cloning, that's been very successful. But right now, as you're looking, you're not really paying attention to the distribution, the marketing, the technology, the information sharing, the science behind it. It just goes on. It just keeps going on. We haven't had cannabis has been controlled by the black market essentially for over 80 years. And the organization of those black market operators weren't as sophisticated, and nor did they have to be. They sold cannabis, or they sold weed, and that's what people cared about. As the general population gets more educated and has more opportunity to interact with cannabis freely without any kind of stigma, you'll come to find out that cannabis is very, very unique. And it is not all the same. There are different cannabinoids and terpenes that are in the cannabis that could potentially drive a certain individual to a specific strain, and because that simply works for them. And it does not work for – it's not cookie cutter. You can't necessarily apply it to everybody because everybody's body is different.
Now, just to clarify, Paul, so – and I haven't been to any of the shops in Massachusetts, so I can't say this for sure. But so you can buy marijuana, and like the old-fashioned way, you would smoke it. You can vape it. They also have things such as gummies and so on in a variety of different fashions?
Correct. So the main industry right now, you can base on a flower offering, which would be the traditional marijuana bud that people are associated with. And then you have edibles, which are not the edibles that you probably had, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, etc. They're very high refined. You're getting traditional culinary chefs involved now. You're really bringing experts from other industries coming in and seeing how they could assist in this new industry of cannabis. And to be honest with you, it's really benefiting everybody, specifically the consumer. Because now you're getting in a regulated market, you have access to a safe, tested sample that you can consume, that you know is properly labeled, that the consistencies are properly documented, and that you can have an expectation of what you're going to receive once you purchase that item. Before, that wasn't there was nothing like that. You didn't know potentially what you were getting. Even if the person you were purchasing it from told you what it was, that doesn't necessarily mean that it really was that. And as coming from a medical standpoint, I found that very problematic. I was trying to understand cannabis and how it could help me medically and therapeutically, and specifically in the state program, I found that to be troublesome. And that's why I essentially started advocating as much as I did, is I really feel that there were more people out there that should understand what cannabis is, what it can do. And there were a lot of patients out there that really didn't understand. Unfortunately, cannabis isn't the first option medically for majority of people. It's normally the last. And unfortunately, even myself, it took me years to finally come to terms with, I'm going to try this because nothing else is working.
We are talking with Paul Kirchberg, the executive director of Connecticut Normal. That's the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Paul, how many people would you estimate in Connecticut use marijuana in the various forms, whether eating, smoking, vaping?
Well, it's easy to identify how many patients are registered in the program, and that's approximately about 30,000.
Well, outside of medical marijuana. How many how many people in Connecticut use marijuana?
Well, the most recent poll stated it was 71% in favor of legalization. So, if you're in favor of legalization, that means you have either consumed it in the past, you're actively consuming it, or you're open to consuming it in the future. At that point, we're given recent population, you're looking potentially at 2.1 million.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
How much? I'm just thinking ahead now. If I'm a legislator up in Hartford and I see what New York State is doing, I don't want to lose the money. Connecticut is in a fiscal bind. I'm probably going to push to get this through. One of the selling points to pushing to getting it through would be how much money the state can make out of it. What's the estimate?
The current estimate that was being thrown around last session was, I believe, was $180 million in retail taxes. Now, if you do the simplistic math, based the population, the Connecticut population over 21, 71% of those in favor, you take that number and you take that number and you take 180 million, divide that by that number, and you'll get what you'll see where you're going, what your individual compensation or individual purchasing would need to be. And given a tax, given a 6.35 tax rate, I think you're looking at about, don't quote me right off the top of my head, $700, $600 per person annually. I can't even buy my medicine monthly for that at the dispensary. So let's also put in perspective, if you're in recreational markets out west, you could see individual joint cones going anywhere from $12 to $35.
But at the same time, this isn't a done deal in Connecticut, right? I mean, there's still many people opposed to this, and They have various objections. They say it's addictive. It's potentially a gateway drug. They're worried about kids having easier access. They are going to put up, I think, a spirited fight, don't you?
They have been putting up a fight historically, and the biggest thing that being an advocate here in Connecticut is I want to hear your concerns. I want to know why you feel cannabis should be illegal, because I want to have that open conversation with individuals and let them know that a lot of the information that they're basing their thought process on has already been scientifically disproven. And there is numerous resources which credit that support this factor. A lot of the people that are not in support of cannabis legalization go out and make boisterous claims, but 99% of the time, they don't provide any resource. And if they do, they're not credible.
Did you ever think you'd see this day where we'd actually be talking about this happening in Connecticut? For so many years, when I would speak to someone like you and I would get out of the program and I'd say, this will never happen around here. And here it is, potentially happening this year.
I've been advocating for about 5 years now, a little over 5 years. And before 5 years ago, I would have never thought I would have been here. I never would have thought that we would be having this conversation about legalization, because again, at that time, it necessarily wasn't a major topic. Yes, it still is important. All of these things were happening, but I think a lot of things changed with the introduction of CBD, the understanding of CB1, CB2 receptors in the human body, the gateway theory being debunked. In conjunction as well with rehabilitation of drug addicts and that process, and getting our policing to co-align with a health and social policy benefit, I think all of those conditions that happen to come together is the reason why we're really talking about this, and people are so excited to hear about tax revenues. Given the fact that we unfortunately are in a deficit at this point, cannabis can assist us in getting that out. Do I think it's going to be the greatest? Do I think it's going to be the fix-all? No, I think there's a lot of growing pains that have to be nailed down and have to be figured out. Again, Connecticut historically has not been very open to cannabis nor personal possession.
Paul, we're just about out of time. I would love to have you back on in the future. Will you come back?
Yes, of course.
Paul Kirchberg, the Executive Director of Connecticut Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Thank you, Paul. When we come back, we're going to talk about holiday stress and how to cope with it. We'll be right back.